Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, somebody said. TGIF, you remember that. We have a Shabbat Shalom, a Sabbath rest coming up this evening. And for those of you who take a Sabbath rest, you know what I mean when we rejoice in the opportunity to say to this whole entire world, sit back, right? And so we're all the saints of God, all of God's kids have a blessing given to us to have a day of rest. And if God took a day of rest before there was ever a Mosaic law, I believe that God wanted to share his Sabbath, his Shabbat, his day of rest with us. And maybe it's been a laborious week for you. Maybe you've been active mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. You know, there's something about the Sabbath that God actually protects and honors. I mean, it's almost like he says to all the whirlwind around us, step back. You know, it says that God put the sand of the sea and said to the waves and the oceans, you can go this far and no further. Well, on the Sabbath, there seems to be, as we enter into his rest, an ability to sit back, just kind of stay in your skivvies, whatever you're in, grab your favorite book, spend time with God, your family, barely budge, stay in bed, just let your body rest, no phone calls, no computers, no television, just spending time with God, snoozing all day, praying, resting with the Lord, enjoying the day. And it all begins tonight at the setting of the sun, Friday evening, and a nice Shabbat meal. There's nothing like that. Praise God. And just enjoying the moment, enjoying the day. And as you enter into that, test this out and see if this isn't real. As you enter into the Lord's Sabbath, see if he doesn't just tell everything in the universe, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Let them rest. No worries, no concerns, nothing. You know, we minister Saturday night at the end of Sabbath, and so we do spend the time preparing on a Saturday and just kind of getting the words together and allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. So We're going to have an amazing weekend. I know that some special things going on this weekend. And we, after our trip to Tyler, are settling back in. And we're doing our projects up on the Ark. And I'm just trusting that you're having a great week as well. And we need to get downloaded. And hopefully this weekend, after your personal Shabbat Shalom with the Lord, your Sabbath day rest, that you'll be encouraged, you'll be edified, you'll notice a transformation in the atmosphere. But then I really do hope that you have a place to go to snuggle up with the saints, to gather together for a time in the Word of God, you know, maybe this evening or tomorrow on Sunday when a lot of people gather together, that you'll be able to, you know, just fellowship and have koinonia and break bread. And quite frankly, what we love about our Saturday evening services, even though we're in a building, we certainly enjoy just the worship and just a quiet time amongst ourselves and enjoying the Word of God. By the way, if you've never visited one of our services on Saturday evening, I want to give you, you could go on YouTube or on Facebook at 5:30 tomorrow night, and you could actually join us at our worship service. And that is the same way that you're finding us right now on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV and on Facebook. You will, at the Omega Radio page, you'll be able to come and kind of view into our services. And we always have a lot of fun, and we think it's very funny. We will say hello to everybody out there in YouTube world and Facebook world. So if you've not been to one of our services on a Saturday or Sunday at 2 p.m., make sure you go out there tomorrow, Sunday, 2 p.m., tomorrow night, Saturday, 5:30 p.m., same way you're tuning in right now. So we are looking forward to a great weekend and a refueling, a refreshing, a reviving for the saints of God so that we can get ready to move forward in the days ahead and doing the things that we need to do. But I exhort you, take a Sabbath rest tonight. By the time that sun sets, be in position, man. Be laying in your bed with your loved one, with yourself, with your whoever you know you spend the day with, and just rest and chill out. And maybe there is a good flick on television where you could go watch a Pure Flix movie and download like that, or listen to something beautiful and just begin to rest. I believe it's really important. You know, the millennium is also a time of rest. You know, 6,000 years have passed. When you're as simple as I am, and you look at the timeline since Adam and Eve, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, when they sinned and they fell and they were exited out of the garden and time began, the timeline that we have is 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, another 2,000 years from Abraham to Yeshua. That's a total of 4,000 years. And from Yeshua to the time that we're in right now is another 2,000 years. That's 6,000 years. And we know in 2 Peter chapter 3 that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And the sages and you know, some of the wise men of the past have studied scripture pretty well. And they noted in different places like Psalm 90, verse 4, that a day in your courts is as 1,000 years, that there is a connection to the 6 days of creation. And then God rested on the seventh day. Well, some people say that those 6 days were millennial days. When God was creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, they noted a pattern that God worked 6 days, millennial days. He rested on the seventh day, and then mankind sinned, and God went back to work again, and the labor of was on man. And 6,000 years has passed, or 6 days, and the millennium will show up in the prophetic seventh day, or the seventh millennium. And it's very interesting that we are in the third day since our Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. We're in the seventh day since time began with man fallen. And so we live in these two incredible time frames of the seventh day and the third day. And there's Shabbat for the seventh day. The third day is about resurrection power. And when you really begin to study scripture and look at the seventh day and look at the third day, you come up with a prophetic pattern that I think is the most amazing thing in scripture, quite frankly. And I love the idea that 7 and 3 is 10, and the number 10 is the number for redemption. And that three times in the book of Ephesians, we're told about we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. And then we have this redemption in Ephesians 1:14. And then in 4:30 of Ephesians, there is a day of redemption. And I just know that the day of redemption is at the door. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And so when I look at the day of redemption, the word actually means luo in the deep root of the Greek. And that word actually refers to melting, breaking, dissolving, releasing. So when you think about everything on the human race, if you will, being melted, broken, dissolved, released. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8 that we will be released into the liberty of the children of God, because the day of redemption is the dissolving and melting of everything that's ever been upon that human race. And yet we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's a huge discussion. I actually wrote a little booklet on the third day and the seventh day. And we could talk about that again at some other time. But today we said we would talk about the millennium. With all that's going on in the world today, we want to talk about the millennium. And one of the first scriptures that I would like to share is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is a wake-up call to all of God's kids, to all of God's children. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this kind of sets the stage for where we're going to go. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" So he's talking to the people about a present reality, and he's declaring to them that, you know, if you have a problem, how dare you go to the law, the unredeemed people of the world, you know, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. I mean, for Christians to take their cases before the unjust, Paul said, that's, you know, terrible. Don't ever do that. And not before the saints. In other words, why don't you bring your case before the saints? And then he says something in verse 2. He's wanting them to understand something about this legal system, okay? He said, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you," he's referring to the saints at Corinth and all saints, "if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" So he's taking this idea and he's saying to the church, to the saints, you're going to judge the world one day. What day is he referring to? We're going to talk about it. And he said, because you're going to judge the world one day, what you need to do right now is put your calling into action. You need to start judging the smallest matters among yourselves. Don't let the world judge. You guys practice your ability to do what God's created you to do. And not only that, he says in verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. When is this going to happen? Well, I believe it's during the millennial reign. And we're going to put this together in just a moment here. And then again, he goes on to say, how much more things that pertain to this life. So he's talking about another life. He's talking about another time when the saints of God are going to judge the world and we're going to judge angels. Isn't that absolutely amazing? And then he says, while you're in this life, you need to start practicing and rehearsing for what you're going to be doing throughout the entire millennium. A passage of scripture that I really enjoy as well is in Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells this incredible parable. And we could go through the parable. And here's what it says. And we'll start in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this is right to Zacchaeus. Remember, he got in the tree and he was looking at Jesus and he got saved. And he said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, Jesus is the nobleman. He's going into a far country to receive a kingdom. You see that in Daniel chapter 7, where the Lord is taken by the clouds to the Ancient of Days and he receives a kingdom. So in the parable, he says he would receive a kingdom and to return. So we know that Yeshua has received his kingdom 2,000 years ago. We know he's seated at the right hand of God in heaven, waiting, expecting till his enemies be made a footstool for him. And we know he's going to return. And he's telling them that in this parable, verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So throughout the church age, during the last 2,000 years, Christ has given resources to the ecclesia, to the church, to occupy until he comes. You and I are probably still occupying, or at least should be, until he comes with the resources he's given us. But it says in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. That's a bummer. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So the one that's coming back is coming back to rule. He's coming back to reign. The people that are there are occupy until he does come, telling the message. But the citizens hate him. And so, in verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, now he's telling the story of what it will be like. When he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So this is kind of like the Bema seat, where the rewards are going to be given out, according to Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bema seat. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat, and that's where the rewards are given. So he's kind of putting that in the parable. And then he says, he wants to know how everybody did with trading. And verse 16 says, then came the first saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now remember, when does the Lord return? Okay, he's already received his kingdom, but he's going to return again. He returns immediately after the tribulation, remember? And then the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth. But when he returns, we go up to meet him in the air. He doesn't, you know, right after the tribulation, he doesn't come on earth. Every scripture, and except for Revelation 19, every scripture tells us that the dead rise, meet the Lord in the air. We who are alive and remaining meet the Lord in the air. We go with the Lord, with him, we meet him in the air. Now comes the wrath of God upon the earth. We know this. It's been clarified. And it's at that time that the rewards are being given. And this is where the Lord's saying, okay, you've been faithful in what you did. Now here's what you're going to have. Then, after the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, we know the Lord returns with his armies and he sets up his kingdom upon this earth. And at that time, this person, authority over 10 cities, this will be the governing body of Christ on the earth. And then verse 18 says, the second came saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I have kept laid in a napkin, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You take up where you lay not down and reapest that you did not sow. He said to him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant, you knew not. Or you knew that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? So the Lord's saying, I'm giving you gifts. I'm giving you resources. And what you do with them is going to show up at the end of your life at the Bema Seat. Whatever we do with the resources God has given us to advance His kingdom, to bring gain, okay, because we're occupying on His behalf, right? That's what it says. And then, 24, He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, give it to him that has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, or they said in verse 25, and they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, Jesus said, that unto every one which has shall be given, from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, when Jesus returns, he's setting up his kingdom. He's going to rule. He's going to reign on the earth. The saints of God are going to be judging the world, and they're going to judge angels. Where do we find that at? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, have you stopped lately and considered that your life here on earth is producing an eternal reality? In other words, have you stopped to think, well, you're awed at the White House and the Supreme Court of the United States and the House of Representatives and the Congress or some other governmental system around the world, that all these men and women are involved in governmental power here on earth, and they've made an absolute mess out of it? Have you ever stopped to realize and remember that your life as an overcomer, as somebody that is doing with the resources that God gives them, is being set up to rule and reign, to judge the world, to judge angels, to rule over 5 cities, to have authority over 10 cities, to be a governor in the kingdom of God on this earth? Have you thought of that? Have you thought about the eternal purpose of God, that you are going to judge angels? You are going to judge the world. You are going to have authority over 5 cities and over 10 cities. And it gets even more than that. In Revelation chapter 20, and this is the chapter everybody refers to as the millennial reign, because this is it. This is Revelation chapter 20. This is speaking of the millennial reign. Now, here's what it looks like. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. So if you go back to Revelation 19, the Lord now, after the wrath, in Revelation 16, the collapse of Babylon in 17 and 18, in Revelation 19, the Lord comes with his armies. We will be with him at that time. And he will take the beast and the false prophet and cast them into the lake of fire. He will come to judge and make war with the armies of the beast kingdom on this earth. I mean, it's an amazing portrayal of what the future holds. And then, because the Lord's coming out of the heavens to the earth, he now takes dominion and he sets up his kingdom. Satan, the very next thing in Revelation 20, is now bound with a chain, cast into a pit for 1,000 years. This is called the 1,000-year millennial reign. What else happens? Well, we read in verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Well, who are they? Who sat upon the thrones? Well, in order to understand that, we have to go back to Daniel chapter 7. So hold your finger there, because we're going to spend a lot more time in Revelation chapter 20. But in Daniel chapter 7, here's what is being referred to. When it says, let's look at it, because there's two people groups here. In verse 4, I saw thrones. Okay, these are positions of power, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Okay, that's where we're going to start. That's the first group. And remember the phrase, judgment was given unto them. They sat on thrones. Well, in Daniel chapter 7, here's what we read in verse 20. Look in verse 21. I beheld in Daniel 7:21, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, that's very telling because in Revelation chapter 13, this is the exact description of the beast that's making war with the saints and prevails over them for 3.5 years. So Daniel is seeing this, and he says, I saw the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. Remember, we just read judgment was given to them in Revelation 20. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, that's what's going to happen in the millennial reign, during the 1,000-year reign. So judgment is given to the saints. The time comes for them to possess the kingdom, which will be the whole earth, by the way. And so in verse 25 of Daniel 7, it says of the beast, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High during the tribulation period and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, 3.5 years. But, okay, so that's tribulation language, but the judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. In another translation, serve and obey them. Because remember, if you have authority over 5 cities, you're going to be obeyed. You have authority over 10 cities, you're going to be obeyed. So Daniel tells the whole story of the Great Tribulation, what's going to happen during the tribulation, but he shows the picture afterward of judgment being given to the saints. So going back to Revelation chapter 20, let's look at verse 4 again. I saw thrones, that's positions of power. They sat upon them, the saints, the overcomers, and judgment was given unto them. So now they have been given authority. They've been given cities. They've been given power. Christ is now imparting power to his cabinet, to his governors, to those that are going to rule and reign with him during the millennial reign. And at that time, they will judge the world. They will judge angels. They will sit upon thrones. They will rule over cities. Then there's another group of people in verse 4, and it says, watch this. Let me read verse 4 again. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Ah, here comes the martyrs. Here's another group. So the first group are the overcomers, those who endure to the end, those who fight the good fight of faith. These are those who are going to receive the reward for their endurance through the Great Tribulation. Now he sees, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, obviously, these were killed. They were beheaded because they did not give their allegiance to the beast, and they died for their faith in Jesus Christ. These are true martyrs. Wow, throughout the ages, right? And in this last time, there's going to be a lot more. Believe that. He says in the fifth seal to those who were killed for their faith, just sit tight till your brethren are going to die the same way you did. Just sit tight. So we know that's going to come in the last days, a lot of martyrs. But the martyrs in the resurrection, obviously they're part of the resurrection, they're going to receive what? It says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who? These two people groups. The first group endured to the end. They're the saints. They came forth as an overcomer. and judgment was given to them. Here they are taking thrones of judgment during the millennium alongside of the martyrs, the second group, those resurrected from the dead. And this is going to be the ruling body of Christ. This is Christ's government. And then it says, okay, they lived for 1,000 years. How do you live for 1,000 years? Well, because in the millennium, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have glorified bodies. Those who endure to the end of the great tribulation and are alive and remaining at the coming of Christ, the dead rise first, and they're going to have glorified bodies, brand new bodies. And then those alive and remaining will be caught up to meet the Lord, and they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Changed, metamorphosed. They're going to receive their brand new bodies that are built for eternal life. You and I, in the millennium, the overcomers and the resurrected dead who were faithful martyrs to Christ, those are the resurrected and those who are caught up, we're all going to be changed. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 was, the mystery. We shall all be changed into eternal, immortal bodies. And we are going to live forever. And then during the first 1,000 years after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the tribulation, the first 1,000 years, there's a ruling and reigning. Satan is bound. There's no beast. There's no false prophet. The saints of God are ruling and reigning over the nations. They have authority. They're judging angels, judging the world. They're administering the righteousness of Christ, who will most likely be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. I mean, this 1,000-year millennium is starting to look really good. And it makes you understand that these 80 years that we're living, 70, 80, 90, even 100 years, in comparison to 1,000 years in a body that can never get sick, that can never die, that will have judicial authority, pure light, and ability to rule and reign for the glory of Jesus Christ on this earth. I mean, that's pretty powerful. And yet, in the eternal eighth day that Enoch talks about, we go into stuff that's unimaginable right now. But let's just try to wrap our mind around the idea that we're going to be ruling and reigning in glorified bodies that never get tired, never get sick, never get worn out, don't come into a funk because there is no deception. I mean, come on. Right now, we're fighting through all this stuff. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in the name of Jesus to do warfare. But the enemy doesn't want you to be a ruler and a reigner in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you judging angels and judging the world. He doesn't want you sitting upon thrones of power and dominion and ruling and reigning for 1,000 years in glorified bodies. So he's trying to stop that from happening against every Christian, but he's going to fail. And then it says this. This is really important. He says, and this is all within that 1,000 years. He said in verse 5, but the rest of the dead. All right, so the only people that resurrected were those who were beheaded and were killed for their love for Jesus Christ, who did not receive the mark of the beast. Obviously, these are real saints. But the rest of the dead, all the other dead people, billions of dead people, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They didn't live again. Now, most are in death. Most are in hell, okay? Death and hell, or in the sea. But it says that the rest of the dead don't live again. They don't come out of death. They don't come out of hell. Until when? Until the 1,000 years were finished. So for 1,000 years, there's a lot of dead people that they're kind of just away from everything. They're not even in view. What's going on in the earth? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about it, how the world is going to be acting and reacting to the government of God for the 1,000 years. But we know that the rest of the dead stay dead, stay in their condition until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, dear saint of God, it is important that you and I are part of the first resurrection, because if we are not part of the first resurrection, if you or I die today and the resurrection happens 5 years from now, let's say, you want to make sure that you're in that resurrection, which means you're not going to take the mark of the beast. You may be martyred for your faith. You may be killed for your faith. You want to make sure you're part of the first resurrection. Why? Because it says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death, there's a first death of the dead, but the second death will have no power over those who are part of the first resurrection, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right. The 1,000-year millennial reign is going to be filled with saints of God who have been faithful throughout their generations, who have died for their faith in Jesus Christ, okay? We know that they're going to take positions of power. Not all Christians are going to be ruling and reigning. We've got to get something straight here. Many Christians are going to be before the throne of God, and the Lamb of God will be with them and in their midst and will feed them and all these things. Not all Christians are going to be ruling and reigning, okay? We're talking about a specific group of people called the overcomers, those who endure to the end of the great tribulation, being faithful even unto death. Then we're talking about the martyrs who have been killed throughout the ages for their faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It's important that you're part of the first resurrection because there is a second death. The first death is physical, being in hell, being in death, wherever that leads people. That's only temporary. There's a second death that will come. You and I want to be part of the first resurrection. We do not want to be part of the second resurrection. Why? Because it says in verse 7, and this is interesting, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. So what is this? You're telling me after 1,000 years of the righteous rule and reign of Jesus Christ, where saints of God are judging the world, judging angels, ruling over 5 cities, 10 cities, sitting in thrones of power and positions of power, that after 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed again and will gather an army the size of the sand of the sea? How does that work? How does that happen? How can this deceiver of the world, after 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom instruction, bring about a revolt and a revolution again? He did it in heaven in the first place. He led a rebellion of the angels. He's been rebellious in the world in which we live. There's something about the spirit of Satan, this anarchy, rebellion, and it has an ability for some reason, which means the people or the angels that are going to be existing after the millennium, something happens here where they gather together. But what happens? Here's what will happen. Not a shot fired, by the way. Not a shot fired. Because it says, when they compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and then it says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Not once do you see a shot fired when it comes to Gog and Magog. You can go back to Ezekiel 38. There's not a shot fired. 38 and 39, we'll talk about it again. But here, again, there's not a shot fired. There's a coming together, there's a gathering, there's a compassing the city, but there's not a shot fired. But fire comes down out of heaven and devours them. The devil, in verse 10, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Man, the devil was able to deceive them again, even after 1,000 years of the righteous reign of Jesus Christ. Don't you find that absolutely amazing? I do. But it shows the power of the enemy. And when Jesus said in the last days, deception will be the key to his success, even the elect can be deceived. Folks, we're dealing with a power of deception. There's a great power. We need to make sure that we're not deceived in any area. This dude has a lot of power to bring deception and lies. And the only way to fight that off is to be absorbed and saturated in the truth. And we have the spirit of truth and the gospel of truth. Now, it says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. First, he was in a pit. Now he's in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the beast, the false prophet, the dragon, Satan, the devil, the serpent are now in the lake of fire being tormented forever and ever. A realm that we will never, ever want to know. But here's the problem. It says in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." What is this? This is the second resurrection. Remember, blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection, for the second death will have no power over them. If you're part of the first resurrection and you belong to the King of Glory, you're not one of those people that are going to be deceived by the devil after 1,000 years. Heck no. Okay, there's something else going on there in operation, because if you're part of the first resurrection, the second death has no power over you. You're good. But here now, this great white throne judgment before God Almighty, all the human race will be resurrected and will stand before God. And then it says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, we have studied and we know that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, but we have read and studied that our names could be blotted out of that book, that our names can be erased, and it would happen at a time we wouldn't even know, because Yeshua would actually erase the name like a thief in the night, and you would not know when it happens. Thus, many coming and saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto me. We've done all these things, yet behold, I don't know you. Your name's not in the book." What do you mean it's not in the book? I went to church. I said the prayer. The preacher told me my name was written in the book of life. Yeah, but somewhere along the line, you didn't overcome. You allowed things to happen, and your name was blotted out of the book of life. And now here you are. You're looking for your name to be called, and it's not there. That's not good. So again, this is the second death, is the lake of fire, and it is a place of what? Eternal torment, where the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who receive the mark of the beast and receive of his image, take of his name, whatever it is. That's all in Revelation 14. But now, that second death is all after the 1,000 years. We want to focus a little bit further on the 1,000-year millennial reign. You want to be one of those alive and remaining. You want to endure to the end of the Great Tribulation. If our generation is the generation that's going to have to go through and face the Great Tribulation, well, let us get prepared to do it right now. Get ourselves washed in the blood of the Lamb, confess all sin, repent from all sin, get all deception out of us. I know we're living on this earth, and God has given us an abundant life to live, a quality of life, and yet we have to be sober and watchful right now, because the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour is not a violent act as much as coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and to get people into a position of compromise or lukewarmness, because both of those conditions afford for God spewing people out of his mouth? Lukewarm? Okay, so this is the time to really buckle down right now and deal with the issues of our heart. This is a time right now to take this very seriously and become very sober, because if we're doing anything on this earth for our own personal advantage, which means usurping over other people, in other words, if we're doing anything that the Word of God says not to do, we're setting ourselves up for surprise. And we don't need that. Man, we need to be as honest can be. If I have hate in my heart, if I have anger in my heart, if I have murder in my heart, if I have lust in my heart, if I have pride in my heart, if I have jealousy and envy in my heart, if I have offense in my heart, if I have fear in my heart, if I have a crooked spirit, if I have wrong motives, if I have wrong agendas, if I'm selfish, self-centered, and the world revolves around me, if I've not been honest, if I'm not a good steward, if I gossip, if I slander, if I'm a whisperer, if I'm a storyteller, and I embellish my stories, and I tell little white lies, you're being set up. We are being set up. And if we don't deal with the little foxes that spoil the vine, or the little leaven that leavens the whole loaf, if we're not careful, that little leaven will entirely leaven the whole loaf of our lives. And whatever little games and whatever little things we're doing that's not right before God, I'm telling you, it is going to be held accountable. And the Word of God says to us, every word that proceeds out of our mouth, we are going to give an account for. I mean, this is detailed information. That's what those books are all about. Everything you say, in fact, everything that we think in our hearts, God says he doesn't look at the outward part of a man. He looks at the heart of a man. He judges our thoughts. He judges our imaginations. He's viewing us from the inside. He's not concerned one bit about outward performance. God doesn't need a great preacher. He's looking for that humble saint that loves him with their heart, with their adoration and affection, that will not entertain a godless thought, that will not think evil against their brother, that will have no intention to do ill to anybody on this earth. All these things will be taken into account, and that's why it's so important that the cross of Jesus Christ slays the human nature of man. And if we don't take up our cross and die to ourselves and allow ourselves to be mistreated, to be slapped on the cheek and turn the other, to be forced to go an extra mile, if we're not willing for that training to find a place in us, we will find ourselves bankrupt before the throne of God, thinking we're his favorites and we're not. This is a severe warning. What we desire in the millennium is to be one of those resurrected saints, part of the first resurrection, or one of those alive and remaining that will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Folks, we want to be in the kingdom with Christ, and we don't want to stay dead. And we don't want to find ourselves in some other realm of thought or of expression or experience. We want to be a part of what this says. We want to have authority over 5 cities, over 10 cities. We want to judge angels. We want to judge the world. But it's more than that. This millennial reign is going to be a very intense time. And for the overcomers that rule and reign, they understand that their responsibility of ruling nations and ruling cities and judging angels and judging the world, this is high-tech stuff. It's going to make the governments of this world look like nothing. Nothing. This is powerful stuff. This isn't giddy, and yet there are some really cool things that do happen. I want to go to Revelation chapter 2, and I want to look at verse 26. And this is part of the church, a letter that was written to the church in Thyatira, one of the large letters that was written. But I just want to get to the place of what the reward is for the overcomer. Okay, here's one of the rewards of an overcomer. It says in Revelation 2:26, he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end to him. So if you're an overcomer and you keep the works of Christ, you do what is right according to his standard unto the end, you don't throw in the towel, you don't begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, you don't become to get drunk and drunken and doing all that stuff, you don't get into surfeiting and rioting and all that, you stay the course in righteousness and holiness. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So Jesus received from his Father the rod of iron to rule the nations. And Jesus said, the overcomers will sit with me and rule and reign with me. I'll give them the authority to break nations and have power over nations during the millennial reign. Then it says in Revelation chapter 3, let's look at the final message to the final church in Laodicea, and let's see the reward of them that overcome. It says in verse 21, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. There are those that will sit upon thrones. We just read that in Revelation 20. There are those will sit down in Christ's throne with him. They will rule and reign with a rod of iron with him. That's powerful. That is very powerful. There's more. There is a scripture in Zechariah chapter 14 concerning the millennial reign. There's a lot of Old Testament passages that refer directly to the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And this is just one of them. This is Zechariah chapter 14. And this is after the tribulation. This is after all the events that go on during that time. And I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to look at verse 12, okay? This is verse 12, Zechariah 14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Sounds like nuclear radiation to me. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. So this is the final plague. Now watch this. Here is the key. Verse 16, Zechariah 14. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, the millennium is a time of restoration for the nations, because there's going to be a horrific outpouring of the wrath of God upon the nations of the earth. There is going to be a plague. There's going to be a wipeout. This heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's waning right now as we speak. But during the millennium, from year to year, all the nations that fought against Jerusalem and the church, against Christ, the Jew and the Gentile, ecclesia, all those nations that remain, that survive, they're going to go up from year to year to worship. And verse 17 says, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King. Where all the families of the earth shall come up unto Jerusalem to worship the King. There's only one King of Kings, the Lord of hosts, even upon them. If they don't come up, there'll be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, then have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Man, even during the millennium, judgment's being poured out. During the millennium, plagues are going forth. And that's what it means. You'll have power to break them with a rod of iron, right? To rule and reign over the nations. It's not make-believe stuff. It's heavy-duty judgment. But it's righteous. And then verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times we're told during the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles will be in view. There will be judges, the rulers, the reigners, the overcomers. We know that we are set to rule and reign this earth with the Lord during the millennium. And then it says in verse 20, in that day, there shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. God's going to bring holiness back into this planet. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Praise God. So what is that day? Well, it's a day known as the millennium. It is a millennial day. And we are leaving the sixth day of man. 6,000 years is expiring. And between the ending of the sixth day and the beginning of the seventh day, there's this narrow thing of birthing called the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. There's this period of time that the nations of the earth are going to go through like sand through a sieve. We're going to be sifted through the great tribulation to bring us into the seventh day, the day of rest, the 1,000-year millennial reign. And that 1,000 years is going to afford great joy and rejoicing among the people of God. The lion will lie down with the lamb. The wolf and the lamb will lay down together. A serpent will not bite a child. Somebody will live 100 years and they'll still be called a child. Let's just close it this way. The Bible teaches us that there is a millennial day, a 1,000-year period of time. God is calling you and I to be a part of that day. If we were to die today, we will be resurrected, and we want to make sure we're part of the first resurrection because we've honored the Lord. And are alive and remaining, we're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, with a glorified body. We're going to be with the Lord. When he returns to take dominion, we're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. This is who you are. This is the call. This should burn in your heart. You should have something in your belly that is so deep, rich, wet, and beautiful that is, I'm a ruler. I'm a governor. I will rule and reign with years. I will sit as a judge over nations and over angels. I will have a rod of authority. I will break to pieces into shivers. I'm going to judge like David. I'm going to rule and reign like David. We're going to have authority over the nations. And what will we be doing at that time? What kind of business will be transacted? What kind of travel will there be? Well, if you're in a glorified body, you're not going to have to get on an airplane to go anywhere. You're going to move in and out of dimensions in that glorified body. Dimensional travel, interdimensional travel. I'm telling you, Jesus was walking through, going through walls after his resurrection in his body. Oh, we're going to have some amazing, supernatural, glorious, eternal realities in the millennial reign. And beyond the 1,000 years after that, folks, It's off the charts. It's inexpressible. It's inconceivable. But we want to be a part of this. And there will be, as I said, people that will be tended to by the great shepherd of their soul before the throne. And there will be those in the throne, operating from the throne, on the throne. So that's it for today. That is our little Bible study that we've had. I hope in some way it's been a blessing to you. I've only had an hour to get this completed today. And so I'm going to say, let me just say hello. I've got some new friends out here, it looks like, on Facebook and on YouTube. And I want to say good morning to our friends on Blog Talk. But let's say good morning to Ian. Good morning to you, dear brother. I trust you're doing well and getting ready for a fabulous day today. Brenda Tourville, good morning to you, Brenda. Thank you for the blessings. They're really appreciated. Cindy, good morning. I know that you're out traveling today with your dear friend. God bless you. It's good to see you still following us on YouTube. Sonia, my dear friend and sister and her beloved family, Miguel, her husband, her son Alex, and Angelina and her family that we met in Tyler. God bless you. Kevin, good morning, Kevin. Love you, brother. Can't wait to see you this weekend. Thanks for doing all that you do. And again, Sean is out there. Sean Hobeck, you're a blessed man of God. We love you so very much. River of Fire Ministries, hello from Hartford, South Dakota. River of Fire, God bless you. And we do say, let that river flow, that river of fire, let it purge, let it cleanse, let it purify and do its work. God bless you. South Dakota, we'll be seeing you in about 2 weeks. Some of the friends out there, I'm thinking that's where that's from. Sandra Matlow, good morning to you. Kevin says, and after that, he must be loose a little season. The Spirit just said that this is like when the Jews left Pharaoh to go to the new land. They left, then acted up, turning from the God that loosed them count. Yeah, that's a great point, Kevin. A mighty hand brought them out of the house of bondage, but while they were in the wilderness, they had their hearts turned. My God, that's too easy, I think. Angelina, buongiorno. Angelina is there. She says, I'm sorry I'm late. Good to see you, Angelina. Trust you're doing fabulous. And she's saying good little morning to mom. So again, River of Fire would like to have you come when you get to South Dakota. River of Fire, I would love to come. We'll be there in 2 weeks. Thank you for the invitation. We're going to have a great time. We'll break bread and look forward to meeting one another. God bless you. We will have Kathy and Ken get a hold of you. Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to that. Sandra says, where does it talk about the tribulation, the first and second tribulation? What chapters in the Bible are there? The first and second tribulation, I'm not so sure about. I know that in the new covenant, there's one tribulation. It's the 3.5 years, great tribulation at the end of time. Now, the beginning of sorrows may be what you're referring to. That's recorded throughout scripture in Matthew 24. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then it refers into the great tribulation. We'll talk about that again. I want to say good morning again, Angelina. The flesh must perish for the Holy Spirit to prosper in our lives. You got it, sister. Let me tell you about Angelina. She is a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God, who we met again in Tyler. This is Sonia's daughter. God bless you. Sean says, going to make everybody look like cavemen. What do you mean, Sean? I'm not sure what Sean meant by that, but we'll get there. We are living in the last days, Sandra says, right now. But we haven't seen anything yet. Boy, you got that right. I know. Don't you know what's coming? Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? You know what's coming? We've got to prepare. There's no doubt about that. Joseph says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's it, brother. You got it. That's where we want to be. Joseph also said, Vincent, I would think or rethink judgment in the millennial reign, the 1,000 years of rest. Yeah, I get that. But I also know that they'll be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. It actually says it. If you're going to rule and reign, we'll talk about it, though. I like the idea. Yeah, there will be a true Sabbath over all the earth. Fare thee well. Thank you, Pastor. Good to meet everybody. Sandra, looking forward to that. It looks like we're all good there. All right. I think we're all good there. We're going to say goodbye right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, out of her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. I bid you all a blessed Shabbat Shalom. When you get through today and that sun sets, I hope you're getting ready for a beautiful rest. And I do trust and hope that you'll be able to gather together with two or three gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them, said the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. I bid you farewell. We'll see you on Tuesday. We'll see you on Tuesday. Until then, God bless. Right now, omegaradio.org. Roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy. Goodbye.